That has been decided by God in His eternal counsel. So Boule is the important one. This is God up in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, deciding everything on earth. Deciding everything on earth. So you cannot argue with that. The Boule is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, deciding, and they always agree with each other. They always agree with each other. So unlike all the other gods, they disagree and have bickers and so on, because they're like people, because people made them up. But this is the true God. He has a council in heaven, and it's called Boule. And that council, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is what determines everything on earth. And you cannot go against His Boule. No matter what you think, your thoughts are incorrect. No matter what you feel, your feelings are incorrect. No matter what you want, you cannot gainsay His will. You cannot argue with His will. If He says a thing is, then it's certain. Past, present, and future. So whatever God hath told you, everything is built on that Boule. Now, this one is thelema, our response to what His will is. Not my will, but thine be done, and so on and so forth. So, not my mind, but your mind, and so on and so forth. So, He hates sin. That's part of His Boule. He hates sin. Why? Sin is always missing the mark. That's what it literally means. Missing the mark. That you have a target and you're way off the target. So you miss the mark. And the mark is God. The mark of God is His Boule. He wants you to be holy as He is holy. He wants you to be righteous as He is righteous. He wants you to be just completely perfected like He is perfected. Right? So everyone knows here that the purpose of your life is to be the steward of God, the steward of the mysteries of God, and to introduce true religion on earth. What you have is primarily the vast bulk of people, the overwhelming majority, are not Christian. And even if they are Christians, they're probably lukewarm. And therefore, you miss the mark. Therefore, you totally missed the mark. You can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you don't know what good is and you don't know what evil is. Good is everything God says, and evil is everything the devil says. So that's a pretty simple. If the devil tells it to you, he's a liar. He's always been a liar from the beginning. He's always been a liar from the beginning. And his pride has gotten him into a Dickens of trouble. So his pride, that he thinks he could rule the world, that he has the majority today, so it looks like he's winning. But God is only after a very small remnant. After you get your living room carpeted, there's a remnant left over. That's us. So you're a very small remnant of Israel, remnant of the Gentiles, remnant also in the church. So we're a small remnant. There's no problem. God wants you to realize His Boule can never be gainsaid. In other words, you can't argue against it and win. What He wills is the way it's going to be. You cannot change that. However, the execution of that will on your part is completely free over here. Thelema, or thelos. So this is your part over here, but God also has both. He has what He wants, but He also has the a power to accomplish what He wants. That's part of His Boule. So His thelema is part of His Boule. But for us, we get to choose. We are not forced to become a Christian. We have to choose that. And by choosing what God hath chosen, you'll hear these words, well done. Well done. You did well. And you manifested my name on the earth, and you did 4, 5, and 6 that we talk about. But it all boils down to the promise that he has here. This promise that he has here in his boule, you cannot change it. You cannot. It's eternal. And so I want you to know that everything is according to the will of God. But he doesn't force it. He does not enforce this because love is more powerful than hatred. Truth is more powerful than error, than falsity. Justice is more powerful than injustice. So he's redefining the words. Now, you might think of God as, you might think of God in the heavens as, okay, he has a will, he'll just enforce it. No, he won't. He won't. He's waiting for every man to execute or not execute. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. If you're a believer, then you're his people. If you're not a believer, you're an unbeliever. You're ungodly. Then you don't have hope. But he gives us time during our sojourn here. He gives us time to make that decision. And if you're hot, you can make everybody else on earth hot. The lukewarm will be hot and the cold will be hot. And if you fail in that mission, which you have a mission to reconcile the world to God, you have that. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Are you aware that you're a witness for Christ? You're a witness. And they don't just work by your words. They also watch your deeds. And so you're a witness to your children. You're a witness to your neighbors. You're a witness to strangers. You're a witness. And that's what he wants you to be, a witness of him. And you'll be tested in that. If you say you have faith, chair 4, and then you don't go on to chair 5 and 6, that meant you didn't have faith. It was dead. Or you substituted your will and your mind and emotion for the gospel. And that's what has to die in you. The only thing that has to die in you is your own will, your own mind, your own way, your own will. So your will must be lined up with his will. So he has willed from the beginning to create the earth, and whatever God intends, it's part of his boule, part of his purpose, part of his plan, part of what he decreed, part of what he did eternally, that cannot be changed. You cannot ever, ever, ever change it. So I'm part of that because I always go back to chair 4. I always go back to the day that I knew that I knew that I knew that Christ was the Son of the living God. There was a God, and Jesus is his Son, and it's to the death. I will die over this truth. And I'm not afraid of dying. Many people are, and don't criticize them. They just are because they're still relying on their emotions or their mind or their will. And so whatever part of you rebels against God, God notices that. He's well aware. And so he's not coming back today because the church is not ready. It's not because the world is not ready. It's because the church, which is to reveal the Lord, is not ready. And so the world is our responsibility to be a light in this world, to be truth in this world, to finish up the sufferings of Jesus in this world. And most Christians today, they want to enjoy themselves. I don't care about joy. I have it all the time, but I don't care about it. I just want the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And so if I know Jesus, I'll do the will of God. But I don't ever think about that. I only think about the promise. I never think about my reaction to the promise. I never think about my subjective, how I'm taking it. I never worry about my faith, or Peggy asked me that in the car. I've just look at the promise. I like the promise.
Amen.
Our faith is built on better promises than Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, Catholic, Jewish. It's built on better promises. They're still under the law. I'm under grace. They're still under a law. I'm under grace. How did I do it? I didn't. He did it for me, and I believed.
Hallelujah.
And he counts that as righteous. I don't know how he Hallelujah. Does in his boule. He counts that as righteous on my part, and I didn't do a thing. I didn't do a lick of work. But I'm happy. And the happiness is just proof that I have true faith. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Did we sing that?
We sang it.
We did. We sang that. So by singing that, when the Lord has come, that's it. For me, it's over.
Amen.
So death does not discourage me. I'm not trying to die. I'm not wanting to die. Because as long as I'm alive, I can serve the Lord. But I'm not going to go to heaven because I serve him. I'm going to go to heaven because he served me.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just
Amen.
Said? I'm not going to be judged by my works for him. I'm going to be judged by his works for me.
That's right.
Was God faithful?
That's right.
You introduce God to us, the Father, and if we've seen you, we've seen the Father. So you kind of like us. Does he kind of like us? And so you know, hey, God can't lie. When he makes a covenant with Abraham, it's forever.
Amen.
Boule. The boule did that. So he's only merciful to you if you're a sinner who repents. Chair 5. Or actually, chair 3 in our understanding. Chair 3 is before faith. In other words, I believe that God can't lie to me, and I believe he'll be faithful. How did I know that? I don't have any idea. All I know is one day I woke up, or actually it was late at night, toward probably 11 o'clock or something like that. Probably 10:30. Probably 10. In Scottsdale, Arizona. And I woke up. But I was awake. I'm out in the hall disobeying their curfew. And all of a sudden I knew there was a God. Jesus is his son.
Amen.
Wow. That changed forever my life. And immediately I knew it's to the death. I thought that was meaning physical death, but now I later realized it was making psychological death. No more psychology. No more will you live by your will, by your mind, by your emotions. All your behavior will be based upon the Holy Spirit, not your understanding. You're going to read the word which the Holy Spirit wrote, and he's going to apply that word to your life. Just do what he says. Well, that probably took a week or two. I'm exaggerating. That probably took quite a while to realize what I just, you know, related myself to. This is going to be the death of me. And I knew that. I knew that over and over and over and over again. It takes 7 times for you to learn that. You have to go through the furnace several times. Meaning, this God, if I do that, it'll be my death. Good, he said.
Yeah.
What? Good. I mean, I won't be Jim anymore. Good, saith he.
Right.
It'll be Jesus in Jim and Jim in Jesus, but it's not going to be, your name is going to be changed. So I'm no longer just Jim. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. How many here can say amen?
Amen.
I love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. Not only that, I love my wife. Not only that, I love my enemies. I love the lost. I love everybody. I'm not hostile to anybody. And because of that, I read the word every day for 5 hours. Why? Because I love him. And I don't want to miss anything he has to say. I'm not trying to say, how much can I sin and still go to heaven? That's not the question. The question is not, how much do you allow? He doesn't allow any sin. So I don't want to miss anything he has to say. And as soon as I hear it, I do it. As soon as I hear it, I'm doing it. Why? Because he will multiply whatever I do. And I just did it because he said do it. I just did it, and it multiplies. The five loaves turn into feeding 5,000 with 12 baskets left over. And he probably had women and children, so it's probably a lot of people. And so I have found this is, I should have done this long ago. I didn't. But once I did it, Willis, it was forever. Once I did it, it's no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. So his boule, his will, is doing my work as well as his. I've talked about this before. He not only did my part in the Abraham covenant, he did his part. His part to be faithful, my part to believe and to bear fruit. That was his part. And so I don't try to do fruit. I'm not even part of the picture. I just simply do whatever he said. Because he described me as a new man in Christ, I am. I am a new man in Christ. I'm no longer Jim. I gave up Jim quite a while back. And when I did, I found happiness. And I wasn't even looking for happiness. And I found out incredible peace and joy and love and forgiveness and gentleness and so on and so forth. And so the Christian life is easy for me. This is what is this word here?
Boule.
Boule. What is this word here? Thelema. Thelema or thelos. No, it has many, many words. I mean, these words are throughout the whole scripture. These words are throughout the whole scripture. They refer to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the same thing as Elohim. Elohim is plural. The im on the end makes it plural. So the beginning of every word has a beginning and an end. So the beginning tells you what part of the sentence, and the ending tells you how it's to be used. So every word, im, Elohim, im, that tells me it's plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Jews can't say that, but we can say it ever since Jesus came. Because we live after Jesus, not before. And so they're still trying to keep the law, thinking you do for God rather than God does for you. Ours is the opposite. We have faith that God does everything for me. But I don't think I see it all today. I just say it. I don't think I see it. So if I say to my wife, Peggy, I love you, I'm not talking psychologically. I'm talking spiritually. That she always wants it to be, well, do you feel that? And she always wants to know the psychological. I said, Peggy, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what Jesus said. I'm not arguing about it. It's just when I say it, that's it. And I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's it. Period. And so no matter what the troubles, I signed up for trouble. I didn't sign up to have an easy job. Preaching the gospel is definitely not easy today, because so many people, even Christians, are lukewarm. Even the Christians aren't Christian. And I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm saying they are born again, but they never grew up. It's like having a baby and then having the baby just stay a baby. No, babies want to grow up and be adult, be free. And so it's time for us to realize God wants you to be without sin. Did you know that you should not make any provision for sin in your life? I'm going to say that again. God hates sin. Since he hates it, I hates it. If he hates it, I hates it. So since he hates sin, But he promises to do away with the sin. So I don't have to do anything. I just agree. I just agree. And so I say the same thing he says, homo logeo. I say the same. I speak the same he says. If he says I'm a saint, I'm a saint. If he says I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Whatever he says, that's the way it is. I don't know good and evil. I just know what God said. I'm going to agree with God every time. So I love Alex. Okay? How do I love him? Perfect love. Perfect love. Well, not perfect like Jesus. I'm just saying those words. But those words, God will make them come alive. I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I realized all the men in my life, the three fathers I had, we didn't have a love affair at all. First one night stand. So I never had a love affair with the one night stand guy. He worked for Jimmy Hoffa, the bad guy, and his two brothers, Tom and Vic. Those were my mafia uncles. And then, but he didn't even know he had a son until I showed up at his door in Florida. That's the first time he ever realized he had a son. This is a miracle. Peggy, mom had said, I don't know when, but sometimes she said, by the way, he's not your father, and the other one's not your father. This one is your father. What? Whoa. Like, whoa. Who's he? He probably wants to make a loan on me, so I'm not eager to know who he is, because I don't want to support him. Because any bum that would birth me and then never find out who I was, he must be no good. So I realized my family background, though some people say I come from William the Conqueror and come from Charlemagne before him and so on. So we might have an illustrious background, but anyway, I don't know of any of those illustrious ones. All I know is my mafia predecessors. Anyway, but when I showed up at the door, the wife said to me, "Who are you?" And I said my name. Of course, they wouldn't know my name. They didn't even know I existed, because I didn't want him to say it in front of his wife, because she might keel over or he might keel over. Uh-oh, you have a son. You didn't tell me about that. And I think I have seven sisters or whatever, a bunch of sisters. And anyway, but I didn't know about that. And so I said, I'm looking for George Fritz. And I said, Mom, why'd you be with somebody Fritz? I don't want to be a Fritz. I don't want to be George. How many know you don't get to make those up? Whatever God has booleed in his eternal will and pleasure and intention and purpose, whatever he has willed here cannot be changed by anybody. Whatever you do with that, either a believer or an unbeliever, the thelema of God is always related to the boule of God. This is unchangeable. This one, it hasn't been executed yet. Even you, you're not perfect yet. How many know you're not perfect? You haven't been perfected yet. You still have sin in your life. And that will take place until Jesus comes back, and it could be in our lifetime, but anyway, it's soon. So I said to him, George, there's someone looking for you. Well, where is he from? And I knew Texas wouldn't cut it. So I said, grew up in Downers Grove, which is the town right next to where he was from and his family. And the Carmody's. I knew the Carmody's, so I knew right away, this is my father. But I looked at him peeking around the door because they had just come in from being in Florida the night before.
Chicago.
No.
They had They had come in from Chicago.
Oh, from Chicago. What did I say? Florida.
Whatever. They were in Florida.
Yeah, they were in Florida. He had just driven all night long, because he was a truck driver, worked for Jimmy Hoffa. And he then drove in, and they said, I don't want to look any longer, because no one here wants to tell me the truth. Because when Uncle Vic died, the younger brother, he said, why don't you ever come in? And he died right after this. Why don't you ever come in and ask me about my nephew? And my father said, what are you talking about? And in a few minutes, he was dead. And so he had given it away that he might have a son. That's why they drove up to Chicago to ask the people that he knew, which I also knew. And they were bad people. But anyway, so then he asked them, and he said... So he went up there, and immediately, as soon as they got there, up in northern parts of America, they have basements. They don't have so many here. They have some, but they don't have basements. But in that part, so they were in a basement apartment to look and ask all his friends, did I ever have a son? Because he, you know, my brother said something about a nephew or something. I don't even know what he's talking about. And, but anyway, as they got there, all of a sudden he said to his wife, Evelyn, let's get in the car and go. I don't need to ask anybody. I don't have any idea, and no one here is going to tell me. So they got in the car, drove all night long, and they just had gotten to bed when they knocked on the door at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so he looked out, and he didn't look like me at all. So he can't be my father. He doesn't even look like me. But then later he brought out photographs of him as a young man. Looked exactly like me. And apparently Uncle Tom looked exactly like me, because I had gone into a Publix store, because we're going to stay there at Disney World. We were going to stay there for a week, and the kids were going to have fun. And I was going to hunt, see if we could find the father. And Peggy's the one that said, go and see him. You know, he's not a banker or something like that. I don't want to see him. He's a jerk. But anyway, so at 9 o'clock at night, the night before, we knocked on the door and nobody was there. So we just left. They said, ah, forget that. It's God's will. I don't need to meet this jerk. I'm done with this. And so the next morning she said, no, let's go one more time. So that one more time turned out to be incredible. Yeah. Anyway, so here I am, and he's talking to me, and he said, well, who do we know in common? Because I said, I know somebody that I think he knows. And said, well, who do we know in common? And I said, Betty Messenger, which is my mother's maiden name. And he immediately said, she had a yellow dress. Yellow dress. How does he know what color dress he has? Because he only slept with her one night.
Wow.
It was Thanksgiving 1939. First time the President of the United States changed it. Roosevelt. He changed it from the third Thursday to a specific date to have a longer between Thanksgiving and Christmas, a longer make money period of time, done totally for secular reasons. So Thanksgiving was no longer Thanksgiving. It was now changed. And that's when I was born. I like change. I like risks. I love it. I love it. My whole life has nothing been a risk. So I had no beginnings, no anything, no hope. But anyway, then he said, I wished I had been able to raise you once I found out he was my father, and photographs and so on.
Mention what she said.
What did she say?
She said, George, this is your son.
Yeah. The wife, Evelyn, turned to her husband. Remember, she had six daughters. I won't go into them all. But anyway, six daughters, and so she went to him, George, this is your son, Jim. Wow. So it kind of solidified it, because he always wondered. But he didn't tell that story until later. I didn't even know about that. So that's how I met my earthly father. In the dream last night, I dreamt of my three earthly fathers and realized they had no love for me and I had no love for them. I don't mean they didn't love me. I just meant we didn't have any fellowship or whatever. The first guy was one night stand. The second guy just lasted a couple of years. And the third guy was Adolf Hitler. And so I didn't like him. So I had, and in that dream, I realized that I've never trusted people because of my three fathers. I didn't know I had three. I only knew I had two. And I have vivid memories of the latter two, but not of the first one. So anyway, I realized, you don't know who you are, but you belong to God. This is all in the dream. And so I realized, how many men today know their fathers? How many men today actually know their fathers intimately in love? I didn't. I never knew any kind of love and didn't care for it, didn't want it. I was happy to be free. I like doing my own thing without anyone stopping me. But today, Jesus stops me. Today, Jesus is my restrainer. The love of Christ constrains us. And so from now on, I just do whatever Jesus wants. I don't care about my life. And so I've given my life away. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my mind, but taking every thought captive to the word of God. Not my misery. I'm always happy in Jesus, period. So he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. So I submit my soul unto him. And because I'm a believer now, thelema. Thelema. This is my response to God's promise. My response to him is, I love you and I don't love anybody else, and I praise you and I don't have any other God. You're it. And I'll never have another, ever. So it's to the death. Now, are you to the death with Jesus? Is anyone here to the death?
Yeah.
In other words, you don't have any life apart from him. I don't have a life. He gave me eternal life. So the boule of God, the counsel of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit up in heaven is eternal. Boule. Boule is a counsel. It's his intention. It's his will. It's his pleasure. It's everything God wants for man, but he doesn't force it. So his thelema is that we would be believers. That's what he wishes, but he doesn't force it. So even though this can't be changed, he cannot change the fact that if you're an unbeliever, you're perished. And if you're a believer, you're saved. He cannot change that. So that will happen, and that's why we say there is therefore now no condemnation for them that which are in relationship, Christ Jesus. So I'm no longer Jim. I'm now Jim in Jesus and Jesus in Jim. He changed, I changed. But he didn't change because he always loved me. So I'm the only one that changed. And so I just go from glory to glory to glory. I just keep going until he comes back again. Did all that make sense to you? Which one is this? Boule. 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 All right. Boulamai has lots of meanings. Depends on the prefix and suffix. This one also, thelema, has the same thing. So you can tell whether it's a preposition, whether it's a verb, whether it's a noun. You can tell that by the prefix and suffix. So boule or boulema or thelema, they all tell you something about where that word is in the sentence and what it means to you. So this boule of God is determinative. You cannot change it. This, thelema, is that even though God wills it, he doesn't force it. Because whatever he wants, he gets. Whatever God wants, he always gets it. No one has ever been able to thwart God's purpose. No one. I will build, Jesus says, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. You cannot prevail against the bride of Christ. You cannot prevail against the Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. You cannot. There's nothing you can do because of the boule. That fixes it forever and ever and ever and ever. The only thing is you do have a choice here in your thelema. In other words, doing the will of God voluntarily, and every time you do it, he multiplies it. As soon as you obey God, there's multiplication immediately. Five loaves will feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, and so on and so forth. And then after that, they had 12 baskets full. And they only had five loaves, but you have 12 baskets. That's a miracle. That's something incredible. Because God always multiplies when you behave. For example, Alex was told to do something this week, and he didn't do it. And so now he's repenting. Did you repent? Yeah. So go and do it.
Amen.
Don't hesitate.
Amen.
Do it today. So when God tells you something and you say, I know I heard God, but I just didn't do it. That means you heard it in your head, but you didn't hear it in your heart. You need to hear it in your heart. So I rebuked him and said, hear it in your heart, because it's for your heart. Do what your heart desires. So, how many know that God is good?
Amen.
He's never done one thing to harm anybody at any time. Even the wicked, they go because of their own choice, not because of his choice. But I choose what God chooses. If he chooses me, I choose that. I choose whatever God chooses. If he says yes, then I say yes. If he says no, then I say no. And so it's easy for me as a Christian not to worry about anything. So I never worry about anything. I don't fret because of evildoers. I don't fret because of Al-Qaeda or because of the Democrats. And I don't fret of anything. I know everything's going to work out for the boule. Because God's will triumph over all. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against her. It. Doesn't matter. You can't tell in the Greek whether it's her or it. But it tells you that what it is. And so people can do it in various ways. But I read the original language, because the original language is often opposite to what you think. So, for example, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does the word repent mean?
Comfort yourself.
It means the opposite of what people think. They think it means stop sinning and start doing what's right. It does not mean that at all. That would be a good work on your part. So it has nothing to do with good works on your part. You don't do for God. God does for you. He's your Father in heaven. So the boule of God says, I'll decide to make a covenant with Abraham. And since he's got sin in his life, how many, Abraham had sin in his life? Because he often wanted to do it his own way. I won't illustrate it. But God said, since I can't do it, I'll make him go into a deep sleep after he shoos away the birds, the vultures. And then I'll do his part and my part, because I'm perfect and he's not. So God can do your part perfectly and you can't. And God can do his part perfectly and you can't. So God does everything. And for that, we thank him. That is the basis of all worship, thanksgiving. Because of that, I just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. It's a Negro spiritual, but it so captures exactly the kind of joy you need to have, even though you're a slave. The slaves sang it because I don't know how they got that. However they got it, because they weren't allowed to read the Bible. They weren't able to read it all, and on and on and on, because there were laws against it. But they... And we had a black woman from Baton Rouge, Dr. Thornton, and she's about 80-ish. And she is saying, I thank God that we were slaves in Africa, but that we got on that horrible ship and got to America in 2018. I mean, in 1600. 618, 400 years ago this year. First one landed in America. First one. The ship from Badagry, Nigeria, came over here. And that was the first black they've ever saw. And so they say, we're celebrating, this is down in Baton Rouge, we're celebrating that now. And I'm so glad we were here, because in Africa, we would not have heard about Jesus Christ. Well, if we had, we would have been Catholic. I thank God, because it's by the word of God. And this woman is strong. You cannot thwart this woman. You cannot gainsay her. You cannot argue with her. She is powerful. I've never heard anyone articulate the gospel as well as she did. And she rebuked the NAACP or whatever it's called and all that. He rebuked them. What's the C for? It's Jesus, then I don't want to have Muslim prayers. I don't want to have anything but Jesus Christ. Either take it out or put it in. And wow, it is like, whoa, you don't want to argue with a black woman who's angry. And so they go, well, you know, we'll pray about that. I don't want you to pray. Get it out or get it in. So she's tough. That's also from the Southern law, blah, 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 whatever that's called. That also is she rebuked them as well. Get out the sea or leave it in. So Southern Louisiana, different than the northern part, is whatever Farrakhan does, he goes to all the prisons and tries to get them to be Muslims. We follow that up. James, Pastor James down there, he followed that up and wins them back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wherever he goes, and they go right after it. Win them to Jesus. So he said, you don't know, we black people are ready. We're ready to take, you know, whatever is ours, because we're free in America to do whatever Jesus tells us to do. Not only does God agree to it, also our own documents agree to it. And we ain't letting it go. That's powerful. So you ain't seen anything yet. The best has been saved to the last. How many know that the boule of God is going to prevail over everything on earth? This boule, this counsel of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim, the same in the Greek language as Theotetes. Theototes is exactly the same word. It means the Godhead. So in the New Testament, when it says God, it often means Godhead. And you have to see whether it follows it by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have the same Godhead, the same as the Hebrew word Elohim. Same, exact. So God has always been plural throughout the Old Testament. It even says in the Old Testament, do you not know his son? It says so in the Old Testament. So the son isn't introduced in the New Testament. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So the whole thing is throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So the Bible is one doctrine. There's no such thing as a doctrine in the Old Testament that is also not in the New Testament. It's just fulfilled in the New Testament. In other words, his thelema, his boule, then also, this is what he said will be. This is what he said if men choose or if men don't choose. So our thelema is actually his thelema at work in us. And God will cause the Jewish people to turn to Jesus Christ. He's not just going to wait for them to say, oh, I think I'll be messianic this year. He's not waiting for them. He's causing it by the world. The world is pressing in on Israel. And they imagine that the Holocaust is over. It's not. One last seventh time. You're not purified until you've gone through the furnace seven times. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, New World Order, all that kind of stuff. Now it's the seventh time. And so that will change after they're judged, 1260 days, Jacob's trouble. After Israel is judged, then he not only judges, he also separates the righteous from the unrighteous. He will save one third of Israel, which will be the sons of Zadok, which are the Levites that dwell in every tribe of Israel. Seventh chapter, book of Revelation. So God has this whole thing rigged on your behalf. He wants you to win, not only in heaven, he wants you to win on earth. He wants you to win, not only in heaven, he wants you to be happy here, safe here, secure here. What do you see today? Not. Today you see everything being torn away. You're seeing everything being destroyed. Ah, it's not true at all. Here's what the Bible says. Bule. Here's what the Bible says. Don't fret because of evildoers.
Amen.
Don't fret. Don't worry about it. Everything's going your way.
Amen.
Now, could I have someone here say, Pastor, everything is going my way.
Pastor, everything's going my way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you don't have to make it. It's just boule. You can't stop the boule. That's eternal. He's not going to change his mind. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not a respecter of persons. He will work with anybody at any time. And the covenant that he made with Abraham is so powerful, all based on this boule. This boule was done well before there was an earth. Well before there was an earth. And Jesus was crucified, not on the cross. He was crucified before the foundation of the world, saying, wait here, and then I'll call you to go to earth later. 4 days later. 4 days. But a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 4,000 years later, then Jesus showed up. Exactly at this season, right now. Exactly at this season. That was the end of the fourth day. In other words, he exactly at that moment showed up on earth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But no one saw that he was King of Kings except the other kings that came from the east. They said, this is the King of the Jews. This is him. We went to Pilate. We went to the king, Herod, and he said, I asked the Jewish rabbis, and they say he's in Bethlehem. It's just a 7-mile trip from here. So they went to Abraham. He said, hey, by the way, you know, I'd like to come and worship him too. Just tell me after you get back. Well, then the angel of the Lord interrupted that. How many God can interrupt anything in your life at any time he wants to change everything?
Amen.
And he's always changing it in your favor.
Amen.
Not in anybody else's favor. Though it looks grim, it's not. Though it appears, don't go by appearance.
Amen.
Go by right judgment. Because God has judged, you are his beloved. And he'll turn heaven and earth upside down to bless you forever and ever and ever. How many know God is not finished yet?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, most of the promises have not been fulfilled. I know we think that, you know, he died and then rose again and so on. That's it. No, that's not it. The reason that he rose was to live in your heart, not into heaven. Of course he's in heaven, but he's a spirit. So he's also in your heart. Both. So since he's in your heart, he's working out his the sin in your life until he removes it, right? He's forgiven all your sins. Now he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then he's going to perfect you in love. 1, 2, 3, past, present, and future. So past, he already died. That's certain. He already died. So that promise was kept. But now present, he's dividing us, the lukewarm from the hot. He's dividing the Jews, messianic versus not messianic, and so on. He's dividing the whole world today. Everybody is nervous about Christianity. They don't know what to do with it. But when you touch something God has touched, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. So are you confident today for the certainty of the past? The present you don't fully understand. But he's now making a division between Thelema and this one over here, where you play a role, and then also here, where he has made it eternal. They're not going to change that. The same news that saved that are our ancestors saves us today. I just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without adding to it or subtracting from it. Just preach it without any agenda. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I have everything I need. Why? Because of God. He likes me. Does God like you?
Yes.
Does he love you?
Yes.
With an intimate love? That's it. Don't think about it like, oh, I think there's nothing subjective about that. It's just objective. Whatever the word says, that's the way it is. That comes from his boule. This now, and everything he's written, Old Testament and New Testament, it's just a promise. It's just a promise. It's just a promise. I will do your part and my part. Because I know you can't do your part because of sin. One sin would keep you out of heaven. One spot, one wrinkle, one stain, one blemish, one anything will keep you out of heaven. But you didn't have to do it because Jesus did it for you. Now he's doing it in you. Then he'll do it through you. To God be the glory. Amen. So how many know there's nothing you can do about your salvation? He's already done it. And there's nothing you can do to help him out. I know that people talk about you cooperating and so on. And it does appear that way. But that's not the way it is. Actually, he does it all. And all you do is thank him. Thank you. I praise you. I adore you. But that worship is just a response that he's done everything. It's not a response to, this is your good work. No. It's not a good work. It's not a good work. It's a response to the fact that he's already done everything for you.
Hallelujah.
And he hasn't. There's a future. But today, in the present, he's dividing us. He's rearranging the world today. The Chinese are interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The communist Chinese leaders are interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Robert goes there, not frequently, but he goes there now and again. Because they want pastors to come and say how the characters tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their letters, their 2,000 letters, whatever they have. Those characters, those signs, actually, and they realize somebody came and told us that's the gospel. And they said it. Now we want to have all the pastors come here and tell us that. And Robert is one that goes there and tells them, this is the gospel. And they're rearranging the world. So you might think the Jews are in trouble. They're not in trouble. They're being cleansed. They're being cleansed, but not yet, because God will cause that. When God causes that, her worst thing is judgment, but her best thing is judgment, because after judgment comes mercy. After judgment comes mercy. And then those sons of Zadok who bar the ark, they're the ones that bore the ark around, the presence of God. You want to see the presence of God, they're the ones. Don't put it on a cart. Just have it put on their shoulders. They're the ones that walked around with wherever the ark went, that's where they went. So the presence of God leads you every day. Every day you're being led by God. Thank him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that everything's going my way. Don't listen to your emotions. Don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to your will. Just listen to what God says. He's told you the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth hath set me free. I'm happy today, and I'll always be happy. Could you say that?
I am happy today.
Can you say that? Can you say that? Can you say that? Yeah. It's powerful. We have testimony. A testimony is built out of the word test. When you say you have faith, he'll test you. But that testing is then a testimony that I have. We overcome with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the word, what? That I love not my life and even to the death. I'm not afraid. I'm worried about anything. My heart is pure. My conscience is clear. It's pure. I don't need it to be more purified. It's already purified. Right. What? Because of what God did in the past. I'm going by the certainty of the past, not what's being present. Because present, it isn't over yet. How many know the present is not over? But the future, then I marry Jesus, Jews get back their land, the bad guys are thrown in the pit, and all that kind of stuff. That is all the future. You haven't even come to that yet. That's even better than this is. You just go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. How many believe that this is good news for you personally? But it's only personal because you read it objectively in the Word. Don't read it with understanding. Just read it and say, God, give me understanding. Because I don't know if I'd understood it. I'd be confused. But since you know I'm dumb and still have foolishness, just tell me what it says. And if you ask that, I can tell you, every day he speaks to me. Every day I have a dream. Every day I hear from God. Period. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just saying it does. I don't care why. But every day I'm joyful. Every day I'm peaceful. Every day, blah, blah. All that love, joy, peace, and that's all Jesus. That's just Jesus. That isn't your love. Your love is conditional. His is unconditional. Your joy unspeakable, full of glory, that's not your joy. Your joy is when I get a new job or, you know, didn't lose my old job or something. It has nothing to do with that. His joy, his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, all of that is yours for a gift. His faith is yours. His self-control, that's yours. His meekness, that's yours. It's all yours. You didn't do that. Jesus did that. Christ in you. You in Christ. You're his temple. He's yours.
Praise the Lord.
He's my temple. You're in a spiritual temple. It's not one you can see. This is a building. We just use the building. It's not a church. You're the church. You're the church. We could meet in the parking lot. We could meet at a riverside. We could meet anywhere we want to meet. As soon as two or three are gathered in his name, that's church.
Amen.
You can have 10,000 members, but only two heard the Lord that day. That's church. So numbers doesn't cut it. It isn't how many people believe in Buddhism or in Mohammedism or whatever. It's not. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with the quality of life. You have the eternal quality of life living inside of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Boule. The boule is actually inside of you. Because if you have Christ, he freely gives you everything. If you have Christ, he freely gives you all things. So now I have Christ and I get everything else. I didn't even know what the package was. It's like one of those Chinese things that you open it and then there's more openings and there's more openings. You know, it's all complex. You have everything there is to have. What? You have Jesus. That's all. That's the key to everything. So, I want to read you this out of Romans. You'll love this. It's going to speak about what I've just spoken about. 22nd chapter. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. The kindness and severity of God. Did you know that God is loving? That's the kindness. But even though he's loving, the church today has made too much of the love as though people assume, well, he's loving, he'll tolerate my sin. You forgot the severity.
Where was that? Romans what?
Romans what?
Oh.
You said 22.
Did I say 9? Did I say 9? 9:22.
11.
Did I say that?
No. What is it?
Whatever I said. Sorry.
11.
It's 11:22. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Behold then the kindness. That's the love side. That's the emotion side. Kindness and severity of God. So he has two parts to him. He has kindness for those that are believers, and he has love and kindness for them, but they didn't receive it, so therefore he has severity. He just wants you to know, look, I hate sin. I hate it. And if you have it as a Christian, you're not going to make it. You'll be like the foolish virgins. They were born again, but they never went on to suffer in order to be glorified and so on and so forth. Because they didn't, they misunderstood Christianity. Christianity isn't just the kindness of God, it's also the goodness of God. It's also the grace of God. And we live under grace. We live under kindness because he was merciful to anybody. He's not just merciful to his will is that everybody gets it, but not everyone gets it because he doesn't force it. You're not under a law. You've been set free from the law. So everybody has the right now to say, I want to go to heaven. God, if you have any promises, let me read them. Because I'd like to believe that all the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. He's the father of faith. So, Japheth and what? Three families. The earth. Shem and Ham. So, all three of them are going to be equally blessed. Did you know that? He said, all the families of the earth. In other words, not every individual, but everyone. This is for individuals of those families. They'll be blessed. So you can't say, well, he won't bless Ham like we did here in the South. You know, well, Ham is just a 3/4 of a person or 2/3 or whatever. So what? That's not true. They're equal. They're also children of Noah. And so all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So individually by individual, how many know your heart, love him with all my heart? That's a single person, individual. And with all my soul and with all my strength. That's all three of me. So God wants you, listen to this. Behold, then the kindness and severity of God on those having fallen into sin, severity, but on you, kindness. If, don't you love that word if? That's conditional. You continue in the kindness. In other words, don't believe and then start following your emotions. Start following your mind. Start following your will. No, no, no. Your equipment won't get you to heaven. Your faculty of having, a conscience, that's going to condemn you. And nobody's going to escape that. Nobody is going to escape your conscience. You violated your conscience from the time you were 2 years old and on up. Everybody violated their conscience. And you know inside, there's something in you. The voice of God is in you. He wrote that on your heart. This one belongs to me. This one doesn't belong to anybody else, just me. I will judge this one. And that's why you have religious freedom. That's why you have it. But it's just rhetoric, unless you turn it into reality. It's just rhetoric, but unless you turn it into reality. Because God wants you to have freedom forever. He wants everyone to have it. So Texas could lead the way. Because here, it's stronger than even the United States Constitution. Their Bill of Rights isn't as strong as ours. I'm not going to explain it, just say it. Ours is stronger because it actually uses the scriptural words. He, meaning the Mexican government in 1836, he denies to us, that is, the Mexican government under Santa Anna, denies to us the what? The right. The natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Private. Individual. That's God speaking to you. That's how much he loves you. He'll give that to anybody that wants that, that believes that this is good news. So if you believe that God is bad, well, he's not. He doesn't care about the idols. Idols are nothing. They're nothing. They don't. So, and they're all psychological. They're all totally made up by man. It's man-made works, not God-wrought works. This one is God-wrought in me and in you, that I believe that what the Bible says is true. And that truth will set me free forever and ever. Even disease, even anxiety, even psychological or physical stuff, you can be rid of all of that. You can be rid of all that. You don't have to see it. You just believe it. You don't have to see it. I prayed and the person died. It doesn't make any difference what happened. Just obey God and don't quit. For example, tomorrow, David is going to have a baby.
Hallelujah.
David and Mary.
Right.
We have a baby. And we prayed for 16 years when she was told, you can't have a baby. But then we had Lissy and Steve talk to Mary, and she was convinced that I'd try that doctor because he's going to give hope. And then that doctor came back and said, well, the bad news is you only have 10%. 10%? That's great. You know, it's 10%. Nobody ever give us any hope. 10%, that's great. So what do we have to do? And anyway, they were told what to do. And in the process, they produced, you know, everything you're supposed to do. And then, but before that happened, they got pregnant.
Hell.
It's just miraculous. And then they came back to the doctor. He said, read this thing that says, you know, I may be pregnant. I'm not. Am I? Yeah, you are. So, like, what? And so we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed against all hope. There's no reason to think it would work. She had had surgery and she had blah, 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 blah. And then you're just wanting to say, well, come on, God, come through. Not because we're looking forward, because we're looking backward at what he did already. Based on the certainty of the word, let us pray until he says don't.
Amen.
Good. Right? Until he says don't. And so God have done a miracle. I believe in miracles. Why? Because I don't look for them. I'm never looking for a miracle. I just know God does them.
Amen.
But I just look to God, and beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, we are changed. Right? So since you're changed by God, then don't underestimate that. This is his instruction to you. That boule cannot be changed. This thelema is it's conditional if you believe. So his mercy is so that you believe that his holiness will not condemn you. His holiness, through the mercy, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, will change you into the likeness of God. Wow, now I have the image, and now I have the likeness of God, just the way he originally created us, because the boule doesn't change. When he created man according to the image and likeness of God, Betzelemnu Kadamutnu in the Hebrew, when he did that, that's forever. It'll never change. He'll just wipe out all the bad people and only have us left. We're the only ones left, right? So if everybody else abandoned this, but you decided, I think I'll be a Christian. I think I'll believe in Jesus. Now, you don't really say that. Actually, the Holy Spirit did that.
Right.
He just wrote down the words. You believe the words. Faith cometh by hearing. You believed them, and that's it. You're happy from that moment on. I can only testify of myself. I don't know anybody else. But I know of myself, I'm not going to let it go. Karen, are you going to let it go?
Oh, no.
Never. Willis, are you going to let it go?
No.
No. Are you going to let it go?
Absolutely.
No. Lynn?
No.
No. So that's it. And since we're all Christians, and there's probably an un-Christian here, who cares? Don't ever worry about the devil. He has no power whatsoever. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's the one scared of you. He's just hoping. There isn't anybody that believes in this stupid thing. This thing is ridiculous. This thing doesn't make any sense to your mind, your will, your emotions. So psychology is out. It's witchcraft, period, overall. Psychology is witchcraft. Humanism. It's just humanism. It's just man-made works. But man-made works won't get you to heaven. Only God-made works.
Amen.
And God has already determined everything. And that you can always look back. If you forget the gift that he has out there that you're looking for, no, forget the gift. Just go back to the foundation. What he has done in the past is certain.
Amen.
Build it all on that certainty of the fact that Jesus died for you and affected everything in the promise. The minute he died, the second he died, the nanosecond that he died, immediately it's probated. The will has been probated, and immediately everything was true. And that early Christians were not afraid to die. They were not afraid to do anything because they knew, no, God has spoken to us. And we're not part of anything in this world. My kingdom is not of this world. We're part of an unseen world that nobody can see but us, but that's okay. We want to see it. And we see it spiritually, with spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. So what you believe, you don't prove to anybody. If you try to, you know, to give an apology to somebody, apologetics, if you try to argue it, it won't work. I'm just saying it does sometimes, because sometimes people are so desperate, they just say Jesus and they're ready. But my mother was like that. But the truth is, for the most part, don't explain it. Just say it and leave it. Let God do all the work.
Amen.
Let God do all the work. He likes work. He loves to do stuff. Because he's miraculous. He does unseen things. You cannot tell what age you are right now, who you are in Christ. You cannot tell. But you're close to heaven. Heaven is right next to you because of the boule, which then affects the thelema. So God's boule is that in heaven, the Father himself already decided, everybody that I've created, I also gave a conscience to, and everyone will violate it. So I won't use my holiness to condemn them. I'll use my holiness to forgive them. So now, over here, his holiness, through his mercy, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, changes you, if you believe. Don't worry about the believing, just worry about the promise. Don't worry about the believing. If I only had a rhema, if I only had an experience, then I'd believe. No, you won't. You're not going to believe because you see it. You're going to believe because you don't see it, and you just can't. It comes by hearing. Just read the word. Just the objective word. Just read it. It's so good. Dan, this is so good. I mean, I'm just amazed that everyone isn't a Christian yet. But he already told me they won't be. I don't really have to guess about that. So I don't care. Just share it with anybody. Whoever is facing you, share it. Share it by your works. Share it by your words. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God on those having fallen, severity. But on those of you, kindness. If you continue in the kindness. In other words, don't let it go. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. That's what severity means. Severity is another word, a Greek word, which means being cut off from God. For example, Esau was cut off from being a nation. You don't see Esau today. The Edomites, Herod, Agag, all of that. You don't see that today because they're in Lebanon, or you don't know where they are, actually, but they're part of the Palestinians. So you don't know exactly if they're living in Jordan, but their ancient land was in the Jordan down on the south lake, the south side. The Moabites, they were next, and the Ammonites, they were next in the north. They came in through the Moabite portion, and that's when they entered the land, through that. But Esau's right there, and they've always hated Israel, because they're relatives. They came from Esau, Jacob and Esau. They came from Esau. And so, that could well be the Antichrist. Because they've always hated, I mean, not just hated, they've hated them, they want them destroyed. And they're relatives. How many know that Esau will actually make it to heaven? After God judges, he always delivers. After God judges, he always delivers. After you get a no, you'll get a yes. He's just cleansing you. That's all he's doing to Israel. When the Lord cleanses Israel, she will be holy. If you read in Revelation chapter 7, you'll see that 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, so on and so forth. 144,000 of those sons of Zadok will be saved through all of that, and they will tell the rest about Jesus Christ because they love him and they're never going to stop. The Jewish people have a bright future. It cannot be changed. Boule. Cannot be changed. That covenant that he made with Abraham cannot be changed. Not one iota. You cannot change it. So God loves you and loves everybody in the world. Loves everybody, but not everybody chooses. Why? Because the church isn't the church today. If we weren't lukewarm, if we weren't compromised, if we weren't carnal, if we weren't confused like we are today, you need to be hot. So you can make the lukewarm hot and you can make the cold hot. It's easy. So we better be busy. We are in Uganda, I can tell you that. We're winning all those Muslims, a lot of those young people that were raped or who had to kill their parents, a lot of them are now Christian. Not a lot of them, all of them. All of them are Christian because they saw that's the God I want to be part of. A God that will educate me, give me clothing, give me housing, give me school, education. I want all of that. They'll be the leaders of that country in short while. They're already graduated from college. They're already doctors. They're already people who are busy in the world, and they're going to be the leaders because they got them from every tribe in Uganda. And now they're sending them back after they graduate. They're the leaders then of that tribe. And if I grew up with a guy that's from the north, I don't hate him. End tribalism. It's the only program that ends tribalism. So we're seeing the same thing in Israel. The Jewish people, that is, those who are messianic, are winning the rest of the culture because you can't kick them out because they're Jewish. They live there. They're Sabras. They were born in the land. And you can't kick them out. And so they're there. And we know several of them. It's powerful what they're doing. And if you're Netanyahu and you want to be prime minister, you have to go to the Christians. They're the swing vote. They're always the swing vote. They don't have enough to win, but they have enough to make sure who is the winner. And you have to then deal with them because they know, hey, if you don't get those people, you're going to lose. And Netanyahu did that. And that's why he came here through our Congress, not through the President of the United States. He came here because he said, I don't want to deal with the President and his administration. I don't want the political thing. I want the religious thing of the people here. And I want their elected officials. And he knew exactly what he was doing, and he got approval. The whole world is being reshaped for God's boule. That boule cannot be destroyed. It's so powerful. If you read the 9th chapter, then the 10th chapter, and then the 11th chapter, you'll realize how powerful this whole thing is. God has it all rigged for you. The best is yet to come.
Hallelujah.
You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. So God is about to do things, and I think he's using Dallas. I think he's using Dallas. Fort Worth will have to tag along. But I think he's using something here. So I think something's powerful. That's why we have a church here. Because I believe he's going to do something powerful here. And he's already doing the groundwork, but don't try to trace it out. Just believe that God is doing something. All right, that's it. Any questions?